I just give thanks always. I try to get rid of negativity. Any small bit of negativity, I get rid of it. I don't like negativity. It blocks the mind from thinking positively and, you know, finding walkarounds. And that's it. There's always going to be a walkaround towards it. Everything has a walkaround. And yeah, that's just the mindset.
Welcome back to the Black and Irish podcast. It's me, Femi, joined by my co-host, Amanda and Leon. And this time we're joined by Farouk Balogun, owner of Branded Royale, who is an entrepreneur and a fashion mogul.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, you don't need to be nervous, bro. Relax.
I'm very shy.
Shake your hands out. Relax those things. It's okay.
No, don't worry about it.
There we go. All relaxed?
All good.
Okay. So tell us a bit about yourself.
I started my fashion brand when I was in uni.
Before we go to the fashion brand, let's take a step back. Let's talk about you.
Me?
Yeah. Okay. Where are you from? Where were you born? Tell us a bit about your story.
I was born in Nigeria, Yoruba.
Come on.
I moved there when I was 8, and I've been here for almost 20.
He doesn't know his age.
You're giving away his age.
20 some years now.
Which one of these?
I think he's going to 19 years now.
Your passport age.
Or like your real age.
Man, show me your birth cert. I need to see that. What's going on?
I've been here for a while now.
Look, at least 40.
Wow. Says the one. But I've been here for a while. I've been living here in Ireland and it's amazing. I grew up in Tala.
Tala, boy. Yup. What's it like?
You didn't grow far from me then.
No.
What area in Tala did you grow up in?
I grew up in Jobstown.
I'd be interested in hearing your perspective, obviously, because we've both grown up in the same area. Mm. What was it like for you growing up in Tala?
Growing up in Tala, it was good. It was nice. I made a few friends around there as well. And seeing it as, you know, for what it is now to when I started, it was it's a big difference.
Now, definitely, it's changed so much over the last 20 years. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is growing up in that area, it is quite easy to fall into bad spaces or be around bad people, and like, how did you navigate that?
So it was actually very easy to get in there, like you said, with the bad people, because, you know, all the kids that were my age, it was a thing of, oh, we all link up after school, and, you know, we all go around, we start walking around, and, you know, just trying to find something to do. I was just, you know, going with the flow, and it wasn't until, you know, grown up more, and I don't know, it was just a switch where, you know, you start to know what's wrong and, you know, what's right. And then when you get into that age, it's time for you to differentiate, like, do you want to take this path, or, you know, do you want to stop it? And, you know, and my path was just, you know, I wanted to make money. I like money. Yeah. I want to make money, and I want to be successful. So, you know, and that was it. And, you know, for me, I feel like I don't want to end up in jail, because that would ruin my reputation at a young age. And my parents would always say to me that, you know, don't ruin our name. Don't ruin our last name. You know,
exactly. Of course.
Good name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So since then, it's been like, you know, I wanted to focus on how can I elevate myself to where I want to get to.
So I'm just curious, at what point then did you kind of realize that you were interested in fashion, or like what sparked that interest or that, you know, that curiosity?
When I was doing my living cert, and I was studying Irish, and I don't know Irish. Mm-hmm. Like I'm African. I can't speak Irish for the life of me. So, you know, I said to myself, what do I want to do? Do I want to be sitting there, you know, working for somebody else, which I am right now? But that's a funny thing.
Disclaimer. We're still here.
I thought to myself, what do I like? And I tried to find out myself. And then it was when I saw Virgil Abloh. So probably a lot of people in fashion probably have that story, but it was when I saw Virgil Abloh, I saw the type of platform that he had, how the world, you know, resonated with him, how they believed in his dream and, you know, his fashion brand. It was far from the normal, you know, couture and boutique and formal clothing to what I would know as fashion. It was he was making cargo pants, you know, trousers and t-shirts, and I was like, wow, okay, you know, I'm interested in this. If a lot of, you know, people want to mess with this guy and he's making t-shirts and he's charging a lot of money for them, why can't I?
Yeah.
So, and I didn't know anything about fashion, so I decided to, you know, take the step and start doing my research as to, you know, how to create a fashion brand, what I want to do. From there on, there's been multiple obstacles as to, like, it was so many. I can't even, if we're you know, sitting down trying to listen to the kind of obstacles that I faced from somebody that didn't have a fashion background doing business, mm-hmm. we'd be here for ages.
Yeah, for ages.
Mm-hmm. But it was just, you know, figuring out like fabrics, you know, quality.
Yeah.
And then one of the things was that, you know, I sat myself down and I said, I don't want to have a fashion brand. I want to have something that's going to make a difference in the world. And
super.
And, you know, it was like, what do I want to do? And it was then that I figured out, okay, you know, my struggles and my problems that I face in my life, and there's a lot of people that are going through that as well. And I remember that listening to people, the first person I listened to was Simba. When he told me his kind of Jungle Beam Records, when he told me the kind of struggles that he faced, and I felt really comfortable because I realized that if he's going through something, if he was able to overcome them with a positive mindset, I don't know what kind of mindset he had, but he must have had some kind of positive mindset to be able to get from where he was to where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuck with me, because, you know, I'm like, that gave me comfort. Mm-hmm. And I felt so comfortable because I was like, I'm going through something right now. I don't know how I'm going to get from A to B, but I know that listening to you and listening to people like you as well that have done it multiple times, there's no reason why I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, I decided to do, you know, to shine a light on creatives and people that are working in the community to make a difference, you know, that don't want to go down the path of, you know, traditional way of, you know, career. They want to strive. They want to face the obstacles. They want to go through everything. And from there on, it's been an amazing story, you know, connecting with them. They inspired me, and they inspired the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. You know, waking up, I know that the struggles that they face is worse than mine. And for me to be able to say that, you know, you are here right now and what you're doing is amazing, that's what keeps me going.
You know, you've mentioned a couple of times different obstacles you're facing in running business, facing and overcoming multiple obstacles.
Yeah.
How do you do that? You know, what do you think is the key ingredient to consistently do that at all times?
It's the mindset. It is the mindset. It would have been through 2019 that I figured this out. I started listening to, like, you know, Think and Grow Rich books, a few books that would teach you about money and that would teach you about, you know, keeping your mindset straight, mm-hmm. I mean, focused. And it was since then that, you know, I just learned that to, you know, get to somewhere else in life that you want to get to, you need to give thanks to whoever it is that's looking after you. If it's the higher power, if it's, you know, God, you need to give thanks to him. And, you know, just wake up every day and just think that your life could be in a different place right now, Paul. You are here right now. Mm-hmm. The things that you're taking for granted, other people wish they had. Mm-hmm. And that was what kept me going. And that mindset really kept, it resonated with me, because, you know, a lot of obstacles that I've been through with the brand, you know, trying to get funding, trying to, you know, go through the mindset of releasing products and then making a lot of releasing a lot of quantities, people telling you, oh, they're gonna buy it, and then, you know, it comes to release day, not a lot of people's buying it. Mm-hmm. That breaks you down a lot.
Yeah,
you know, it breaks you down. And then, you know, it's like, keep going, just keep going. And that was it. And I had a lot of people as well that I would speak to, and I'd say, this is my problem, and they say, oh, just keep going. And then, and I was like, why can't I just keep going? So it was since then, 2019, I met up with Leon. I spoke to Leon, and, you know, that was the first time I actually reached out and I said, you know, let me ask for help and let me see what can be done. And then since then, it's been, you know, it's been connecting with more people, but the connection comes from me knowing that I can do better, and, you know, I can keep going. It doesn't matter where I am. I can keep going. There's no giving up. There's no giving up. And that's where we are right now. And it's been amazing. And a lot of people come on as well. Like, if you see me when I sit down by myself, and, you know, everybody that helps me, how the kind of goosebumps that I get when I'm thinking about it, or, you know, how I'm thinking about they could be doing something better, but they're helping me here, which is amazing. I just give thanks always. I try to get rid of negativity. Any small bit of negativity, I get rid of it. I don't like negativity. It blocks the mind from thinking positively and, you know, finding walkarounds. And that's it. There's always going to be a walkaround towards it. Everything has a walkaround. And yeah, that's just the mindset.
Couple of things I think resonated with me personally, but I think a lot of people that would be, I would say, just not inclined to go down traditional kind of routes, especially coming from, like, I'm not even just gonna say African background, but since it's this context, coming from an African background, right? There's certain expectations of what your life is supposed to be, of what you're supposed to be doing, and when you are creative, it's difficult to kind of fit that mold and fit into that box.
Yeah.
I just want to ask for you, from your own personal experience, because obviously now there's some results, so I'm guessing, like, family will understand a bit more of what you're doing. But before it got to that point, how was navigating that for you? Did they understand? Was there support from your family?
My parents are lovely.
Okay.
I love them.
Brilliant.
They're so
You're
supportive.
So lucky. Yeah, so
I'm so lucky.
Yeah.
They're so supportive.
That must be nice.
That must be nice.
He's so like, I love them. I was like, oh, my little heart.
Like, that's so I can't take them for granted. I can never take them for granted because they just like, they support always. If I need someone to talk to my mom, she'll, you know, she just sit me down and just say, you know, you're always gonna do it. That's it. Mm. And they knew that I'm not a lazy person. I don't want to sit down and, you know, I don't feel comfortable when I'm sitting down when I'm supposed to, you know, working hard. It doesn't feel comfortable when you just sit down, you know, be lazy. So she always knew that, you know, that I would work hard. And even till now, even, you know, when I left my retail job to, you know, focus on my business previously, she was always, you know, I knew that she was always thinking, oh, you know, you could always go back to getting a job. And, you know, she would see the downs, she would see the bads as well as the goods, but she didn't say, oh, you know, you're doing bad, forget about it. She would always say, she always pushed me. She's my best friend. She's the one that I talk to, my therapist. Yeah. She's the one that I talk to. Oh, and I say sweet. To her.
That's
and then my dad as well, very supportive.
So
that's one of the things I just give thanks for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I see what other people had, and, you know, and I see what other people have with their family, with their parents, and I'm just, I can't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
So that is, it's a great support. But I've seen, you know, in the African culture of, like, you know, where, you know, how, what parents expect of you, especially when you come to this country, and, you know, they want you to be successful, to you know, become a doctor, a lawyer, and, you know, they start saying, oh, you know, I spent a lot of money on you so you could go to college and so you could do this and that. But I've seen that, and, like, I've seen people as well doing amazing from that didn't follow, they didn't listen to their parents, and their parents would complain multiple times, but still they kept pushing and they became successful. So you know, looking at that, I'm just like, you know, you can either, it comes back to the mindset, you know, you can either let it affect you, or, you know, you can just keep going and just keep pushing on it. Well, I'm very lucky.
What is it like navigating being an entrepreneur in Ireland, especially from the perspective of being like a black man in Ireland within the scene?
It's not easy because you see a lot of your white counterparts come getting different types of opportunities, and, you know, you're questioning yourself as to, why am I not getting that? What is wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? And, you know, it's completely fine. It's something that you're missing. It's either networking, or, you know, you just don't know how to approach it. And that's it. And most people sit down expecting they're going to come and approach me. They see me doing, you know, different things. They're going to come to me. They're not. It doesn't work like that. You have to chase it. And I've chased it, and I'm still chasing it. I'm doing multiple things where it's like, you know, I'm trying to get different opportunities, and it's not coming true because you're just missing something. You're missing something that, like, it's like a formula, basically. You haven't
put it
yet. You haven't sprinkled it yet. You haven't found it yet.
Sometimes it's too much seasoning.
You'd be surprised if I told you that I didn't really find the passion. I didn't find what inspired me to keep going with the brand, because I'm trying to do something new with it. And I didn't find that inspiration until 2 days ago. Because I have a mentor, and he was talking to me, he was asking me, where did you get your love for fashion? And I really had to sit down there. It took me 12 hours to figure it out. The way he said it, it resonated to me as, like, I can't help you. You need to go do this by yourself. Well, I just sat down and, you know, I thought about it. And then, you know, I figured out that it was the fact that, you know, struggling people who are trying to get to somewhere in life, that's what really inspired me for this brand, because it's in those people and knowing that they don't know what they're doing. Or, you know, they don't know half of the things they're doing, but they keep going and they keep pushing. And that's where, and I figured out that's what my passion is. It's to mix the culture, the Irish and African culture together, and, you know, show the world that, you know, I'm putting Ireland on the map as well for fashion, where it's not just, you know, tracksuits just wearing tracksuits and, you know, t-shirts, trying to put together like some special pieces, some formal pieces as well, put Ireland on the map. And that's what I'm doing now. But that was one of the obstacles I faced, and opportunities, they don't come out to you and say, hey, I'm an opportunity, come and how you doing? You need to reach out. You need to do something. If you're not getting the opportunity, there's something missing. There's something missing to it. And you just have to, you know, you need to do the work. And it's easy to, you'll be surprised. It's easy not to do the work. You know what needs to be done. You don't want to do it because you keep thinking, oh, you know, it's going to come. Something's going to happen. It's not going to happen realistically
until you get up and do it.
Further on from that as well, you know, just for anyone who might be interested in fashion that's listening, what's kind of like, you know, the end-to-end process from like, you know, I have the concept of this, you know, for example, you know, this new line of like t-shirts, to, you know, launching it on the site, to generating consistent sales on, all the way on, until like, you know, it's out of season, I don't know, whatever you call it, whatever the lingo is, out of stock, right? Sorry. What's the end-to-end process of launching a piece?
The way that I would usually go about it is, I am very lucky to have a team, creatives and people that know what they're doing in fashion, because like I said, I don't have a fashion background as well at all. So I'm literally learning as I go. The designer designs it, and then, you know, we put together the looks as to like how we want it to look, how we want it to be styled by people, by individuals that buy it. So you need a stylist, you need a designer, you need a cameraman, and also a videographer as well, if you want to make videos. And then you need to make sure that you have a social media presence, and you need to show some social proofing as well. And from there on, set up your e-commerce store, and then from there on, you know, you just you set it online. But you also have to, you just can't, don't expect to, you know, have t-shirts and people will buy it. It doesn't work. I've seen many people doing it. It doesn't work like that. You need to connect with a culture. You need to connect with a community that will help you. Mm-hmm. And that's where it is. Those are your loyal followers. Those are your loyal customers. They're the ones that will repeat and buy constantly, and just connecting with the community.
And, you know, I seen even talking about connecting with the community, you know, you've done some interesting collaborations recently, whether it's like, you know, like the little pop-ups you have in Urban Outfitters, you know, how do you go about that? And like, what's the drive behind those collaborations?
So that Urban Outfitters one was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
And this is the thing again, it's all about your mindset. I'm going to keep saying that for a while because that's it. But
you should get a t-shirt. That's
going to be
in the next design.
Yeah.
I was calling around. So this was when I released my tracksuits last year. I was calling around. I was asking a lot of stores in Ireland that sell the kind of clothes that I make. Can I get stocked in the shop? It was a load of no's. Urban Outfitters was the last one on the list. I was like, they're not gonna give me any opportunity. They're not gonna let me stock my clothes in their store, because they have to buy it and then they have to try and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, if you don't have a social presence, if nobody knows you, they're not gonna take the risk.
Mm-hmm.
So Urban Outfitters, I was gonna email them, but then something just said call them. You know, it doesn't hurt. And I called them. I was really nervous on the phone because I was like, hey, hello, hi,
hello,
okay.
Hi, I just want to get stuck.
I'm shy.
And I was stuttering to bits. And then when I said that, oh, I just want to get stocked in your store and I want to know the process. And she was like, it's very hard. And this is when the minister just said it's very hard and head office and, you know, this and that. I was like, oh, okay. But then she was like, oh, we do the marketplace. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, what's that? And she goes, oh, marketplace, you get to come in, it's for brands that are up and coming, and come in, set up in our store, you know, you get the traffic that we get as well, and, you know, customers will come and purchase your product if they like it, and you set up a stand, basically a pop-up shop inside our store. And that was when I was like, okay, you know, that was amazing. When I was young, up the phone, I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting this, not a chance. And then fast forward a month later, I set up in their store. And it was one of the best experiences I could have gotten, because people picked it up. Them kids, they have money as well. They have crazy money. They're picking up and they're buying it. And I was
them
like,
kids.
Man, it's crazy.
You're like, a kid like, yourself, what are you talking about?
No, the younger ones, like the kids between 13 and 17. And
they were just
picking up and they were loving it. And
it's like communion money. Back.
Communion. Your confirmation money.
It was amazing.
Confirmation bread.
And then their parents would email me as well. And they would tell me, you know, oh, the quality was good and they want to purchase more. So since then, it was like, okay.
So good.
And we've done it with them. I've done it with them, I think, 4 times now. I did the last one was in November.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to do something big with them next year. So that's where the plan is next. And then also like with the community as well, doing collaborations. We did the awareness brand for women's awareness, raising awareness for women last year.
Yes.
And that was the one that I did with Gabrielle.
It was
just because I wanted to do something for the community. Not even just for, you know, for trying to get like any attention from it. It's just trying to, I feel like, you know, I need to give back in some way. We dealt with a charity that houses women that have gone through
domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. After that campaign, I went to their houses, to the houses that, you know, where they house this women, and I was amazed by it.
What would be your one piece of advice that you'd want to give to someone who's looking to start a fashion brand?
Focus. Focus on your goals, focus on your dreams, and do not let anybody distract you. People will tell you no, that you can't do it. Just keep going. There's only so many people that can say no to you. Mm-hmm. And somebody will say yeah.
What are your long-term goals for the brand? Where do you see Brandon Royal in 5, 10, 15 years?
I haven't really thought that far yet.
We're just here. We're just vibes.
No pressure. What's your dream for the brand though?
What I want to do is, I want to do something amazing with the brand. I know that with the type of opportunities that I have been given and I've found, it's going to be something amazing in the future. But one thing I want to keep doing is I really want to shine a light on a bigger scale. I don't want to leave the small people that are doing the small bits in the community. That's what motivated me to get here to where I am right now. So I want to keep shining a light on small people that are doing their small parts in the community as well, and also on a bigger scale as well. And then just being fashion in a Paris fashion show. That's what I need to do. Yeah. And I'm going to put myself there.
Speaking into existence.
You're here first.
You heard it here first. Brandon Royal, yeah. Paris Fashion Week 2023.
Amen. Amen. Bring me with you, yeah? Yeah? If you look for models for Bring Paris Fashion us. Week.
Not Femi anyway.
Wait, what?
Maybe me and Leo.
You have to be 5'11".
I'm 5'11 and 3/4".
You have to be good looking.
You have to be good looking.
Subscribe to the Black and Irish Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the RTE Radio Player app.